And we have with us Chief Ken Miola.
Good morning.
Nice to have you here.
Good to be here.
So what's going on in the police department these days?
Well, it's been a busy year so far. We've had a lot going on, actually. Probably most prevalent in everyone's mind is the Bearcat, the armored vehicle that we recently acquired. We do have it now. It
is the volume on radios all over the Monadnock region has just been turned up.
So I've heard. We do have it in our possession. It is put in service. It's ready to utilize. We took possession of it completely on Tuesday.
And it didn't come in by airplane in the middle of the night.
No, it did not. We drove down on Friday morning and drove it back Friday afternoon, right on the highways. And it had to go have a radio installed, so it was at a different location for a couple of days. And then we drove it right back into Keene on Route 9 and to the PD.
And it
Tuesday.
Didn't stand out that much so that people were, you know, standing on the side of the road going, oh, there's the Bearcat.
No, apparently not.
No, so.
So we do have it. It is in service. I've been receiving a lot of calls. I believe the city's been receiving a lot of calls for people to see it, photograph it, whatnot. Considering the amount of calls we got, we decided that in lieu of just bringing people in various groups, that we would have a display of all the city's rescue vehicles, because it really is another resource, another tool for the city to utilize overall in its emergency management in critical event systems. So on December 8th, from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m., down at 350 Marlboro Street in front of Public Works Department, we'll have the Bearcat will be on display along with our crime scene unit and a police cruiser. Public Works will have some vehicles there, plow trucks, ice control vehicles, the fire department.
Unless it's snowing.
Unless it's snowing. Fire department will have some of their rescue vehicles, their rescue truck, and some other pieces of equipment to show how well prepared the city is to deal with any event that may present.
And you're having it from 9 to 11 on a Saturday, so
yes.
I won't show up?
Well, you know, we have to try to accommodate a lot of people. I'll take a picture for you.
Great. I'll put it on a Christmas card.
Great.
Thanks. Now, the other thing that I was curious about, there was a lot of talk a while ago about opening, not an office exactly, but just a one room on Central Square that where police officers could drop in and drop out.
Correct, and that is now fully functional as of this week. Actually, we were waiting on.
Is there a sign?
There is actually. It's on the glass.
Okay.
It's very subtle. It says Keene Police Satellite Office. It's at 5 Central Square. There's still a sign over the door that says Central Square Terrace,
mm-hmm.
so you can identify it by that. We were waiting to have some phone lines put in. They took a little longer than we expected, but we actually have a call box on the outside of that building at the door that if somebody were to need the police and they didn't have a cell phone, as we know, you know, pay phones have gone the way of the dodo bird as of late. So there's a call box. It's like an intercom system. You press the button on the blue box, and it'll connect you directly with dispatch. So if you need to have an officer come meet you, or you don't have the resources or the ability to get down to Marlboro Street address, we'll send an officer to meet you at the satellite office. And the officers will utilize it to complete reports, do some follow-ups. It's nothing we're staffing on a regular basis. We just don't have the personnel to do that. Mm-hmm. But it's another great resource in the downtown for the officers to use, for people to make contact with us and to help us do business.
Are you still doing downtown patrols?
We are, weather permitting. The officers are still doing foot patrols downtown.
Okay. Do you have questions, Jim? Or?
Well, I...
came into this conversation here.
I think it's a good thing, the satellite office. I know there was a lot of concern about a year and a half ago about behavior in downtown, and a lot of it we saw ran its own course. But one of the decisions that were made, I think, were a positive one. A lot of people said, just for the sense of security and knowing that there's a resource there for them is really important. The other thing I want to ask is, you mentioned the Bearcat. We all know that was achieved through a grant. And I noticed the police department is very good at writing their own grants.
Yes.
And getting a lot of grants. And I was just wondering if you'd like to talk a little bit about how you do it. Do you have special training to do that? Because between you and the fire department, I notice you write and get a lot of grants, which is really positive for our community.
Yeah, there are some grants that are kind of staples of how we do business. The Highway Safety Agency, for New Hampshire is wonderful. John Clegg, who runs that operation, and his crew out of Concord really reach out to us anytime grants become available that they think we could benefit from. So when we talk about the Operation Safe Commute grants, the DWI patrols, speed enforcement, the seatbelt click it grants, those are all through the state, and they do a wonderful job of pushing that information and pushing the applications to us. So I'd like to take credit for going out and searching those, but that's just not the case. Okay. They do a great job, and we have to complete the paperwork, and we do have people who are familiar with completing that paperwork. Mm-hmm. We write all our own grants at the police department. Mm-hmm. And then there are those that we go out and we become aware of and that we seek and hear about through other law enforcement or fire agencies, such as the Bearcat, the Homeland Security grants, that we look into and see if it's viable for this community. And if we think it is, and if we think it's a resource or a tool that the community can utilize, and funded through another source other than the taxpayer, we try to take advantage of that at every turn.
Well, thanks.
357-1290 is our number. If you'd like to talk with the police chief, this is an opportunity for you to do that. Just call and ask him any question you want. Are you busier this year? Has crime increased?
If you look at the statistics for crime across the board, they seem to be down, actually. But it seems like call volume and number of arrests were as busy as ever. I think nationally you'll see that violent crime is down across the board, and what attributes to that, you know, we could all speculate. We could all say it's good, effective work, the economy, who knows. But it seems to be down for the time being. We've seen a dramatic reduction in burglaries. We've seen some other minor thefts increase. So there is a give and take. Not everything is down across the board. But it just seems like it was as busy a year as last year. Depending on the number of resources we have, that affects our outputs as well. We're trying to be a lot more proactive. We're really trying to identify the things that are most problematic in the community and try to really find the symptoms of those and eliminate those, such as, we're currently looking at what intersections in our city do we have the most accidents and why, and pulling in other resources such as public works or planning to say, is there an environmental issue here? Is it a driver distraction? Do we need to throw more enforcement at that area? Or is there some other fix that can help eliminate accidents or minimize the injuries? So we're really trying to do a lot of that this year and going into the next year, try to game plan how to be most effective.
357-1290, good morning. You're on TalkBack.
Good morning. This is James. How are you?
Hi. Go ahead.
I have a quick question for the officer or the chief. You just said that violent crime is down, so why does King mean the Bearcat?
Well, I think if you look at the history of violent crime and how we're going to use the vehicle, it doesn't always equate to you rolling it out for any violent issue. It's a rescue vehicle. It could be used for search and rescue. It could be used for any number of issues in man-made or national emergencies such as flooding. It's a good tool to have in our toolbox. It's a good resource. We think it'd be effective into the future.
Could you elaborate on how you would use the Bearcat for flooding? It's an armored, truck.
Right.
I don't follow.
Okay. Well, it's a four-wheel drive vehicle that has been designed to go off-road and into situations that normal vehicles wouldn't generally go, police cruisers and such. So in the flooding we had back in 2005, it would have been very effective to get into some of the areas cruisers and other vehicles couldn't go.
Okay, and I guess final question, would you consider painting the Bearcat pink in support of breast cancer awareness?
No, it's actually like an olive green. It comes that way from the factory. That's the color we chose. We wouldn't paint it pink.
Well, if it's a rescue vehicle, wouldn't you want people to see it and know it's coming?
I don't see us painting it pink, to be quite honest with you. Yeah. I think the green color is adequate for its uses. We're not trying to make it stand out in any other way, shape, or form other than what it's used for.
Would you suggest that they paint their cruisers pink? He's gone. Okay. Okay. Well, anyway, no pink Bearcats.
No pink Bearcats.
No pink cruisers. And we are going to break for some messages. You're listening to Talk Back on the news station, WKBK 1290 AM and FM 104.1. We will be back. And We're back on Talk Back. I'm Cynthia Georgina.
And I'm Jim Duffy.
And I'm Ken Miola.
And Ken Miola is the police chief here in Keene. And our phone number is 357-1290. Good morning. You're on Talk Back.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, calling with a compliment. I want to say that I think that the Keene police are generally a cut above the average police department around the country. I've had a lot of positive experiences with a number of officers, having good conversations. And when I first moved to town, I kind of had a chip on my shoulder about the police, and I think that a lot of those officers have changed my perspective to some extent, and I appreciate that. But specifically for Ken, the question I have is that, Ken, you and I used to have breakfast together, and I used to enjoy that. We had good conversation, and I thought that we were getting along splendidly. And now you act like I don't exist. You won't say hello to me when I say hi, and you basically pretend like I'm not there. So I'm wondering, I'm not upset at you for the arrest that you made at the city council meeting. Why are you upset with me? Or so it seems.
Well, this is Mr. Bernard, Ian Bernard, of course.
Ian Freeman, yeah.
Calling. I don't think this is an issue to put over the airwaves here. I just suffice to say I don't agree with your behaviors and the attacks on my officers that you allow to occur on your website. And I kind of, follow the old adage, if I don't have anything nice to say, I'm not going to say it. I choose not to have conversation with you because I don't like how you've behaved in the past, but I'll leave it at that.
Well, I would appreciate being able to interact with, so-called public servants. And, saying hello is certainly not a mean thing to say. So any issue that you have, I'd love to hash it out, sit down, talk. Communication, I think, is an important thing, Ken. And the reason why I called you out on the air is because I can't get you to respond to me any other way. So I'm sorry I had to do that. But I appreciated the interaction that we've had in the past. And so I'm sorry that it hasn't worked out. Anyway, thanks for your time.
Okay, thank you for calling. Bye-bye. 357-1290 is our number. If you'd like to get in on the conversation, go ahead. And
I just have a little anecdotal thing before we broke. And looking at traffic areas where there may be more accidents and wondering if there's driver distraction, I anecdotally think there is a lot more driver distraction. And I'll share quickly just two things. I work in downtown, and I cross near Federal Street. Mm-hmm. There's a cross there, and I'm walking along the old SAU building about 2 weeks ago, and it's dark. It's a little past 5 o'clock, and all of a sudden, an SUV is veering towards me and quickly pulls away, and I look, and the woman was texting. So I was it wasn't such a close call that I went to a panic mode, and then a week later I'm walking in broad daylight and a Volvo with Vermont plates veers towards me near the library, and he's dialing the cell phone and he corrects it. But another second and something, I might not have been here to co-host today.
So good heavens.
I just want to say what I noticed, there's a lot more driver distraction. And, now I have to put that into the mix because I like to walk around a lot anyways. It's safer on the side streets, I think.
I think we are seeing that driver distraction based upon all these new technologies that allow us to stay connected with everyone 24/7 are definitely contributing to accidents on the highways, and that's why we're seeing some of these highway safety grants come through for distracted driving. And a lot of times we're out during the busiest times of the day in the mornings from like 6 and not to 9 or 4 to 6, 4 to 7 p.m. just to try to make a presence to get people to focus back on their driving and not on that device in their hands. So I think we are seeing that as the cause of a lot of accidents.
Now, it's not illegal to talk on your phone.
It's not illegal to talk on your phone to receive a call, but it is illegal to text.
Okay, and it's illegal to text. So remember that and don't do it. Out there, everybody. 357-1290, good morning, you're on Talk Back.
Good morning. They also have these devices called like hands-free things you wear on your head or whatever, and a lot of those new technology cars, you can pretty much have the car answer the phone for you kind of thing. So I don't know. but also, like, yeah, adjusting and fiddling the radio dial and other distractions there in the car that people seem to do while they're driving. I don't know why. It's pushed me to the point where I've refused to ride with people because I'm so paranoid as to, and the last few times I have ridden with people, I've been in accidents because they've been distracted with their phone or fooling around with their radio or whatnot. So now I prefer a bicycle or walking. Because honestly, I see a lot more accidents and people being hit or almost being hit because they're being distracted by those kind of things. And all it takes is less than 3 seconds, you know, to hit something or you know, get into an accident. So I don't know. I just wish people would be more aware of what's going on around them, because I myself, being on a bicycle, have been almost hit by people.
I bet you have.
Texting and fooling around with whatever, you know, instead of focusing in front of them on what's going on, you know. I don't know. I just wish people would be more cautious and aware. That's all I'm trying to state. Thank you.
Oh, thanks for telling us
that. Thank you.
Yeah,
me too.
I think we're seeing I don't have the numbers to back support it, but I think we're seeing a larger influx of traffic in the city as well. I think we're seeing the infrastructures we're designing and mm-hmm. the development that's taking place, drawing mm-hmm. more people to the community, so that contributes to it as well.
I would agree. I've seen a lot more, it seems to me, a lot more traffic, more out-of-state plates, and also I've noticed from my window, I work in Central Square, a lot of people not realizing how to use the Central Square. I guess the term, correct term is rotary.
Rotary.
And it's like, whoa, very interesting. There's definitely a change, I think. I would agree with the chief there, certainly.
I have Bluetooth in my car, and it took a little getting used to because I kept looking down at the screen to, you know, make sure that it was right. But if you can concentrate, they say everything to you. You don't ever have to look at the screen. The button is on the steering wheel, so it's real easy to push. But it takes a little getting used to get used to mm-hmm. that and not have to, you know, double check everything. But once you know that, you know, they're doing it right and they mm-hmm. tell you what they're doing, it works and it is much better. You're never distracted by it. So
yeah.
I think that's a good thing. Make sure your next car has Bluetooth. Okay, it works right through your cell phone. If I don't have my cell phone in the car, I don't have Bluetooth. But anyway, there you go. Let's see. What are the most common crimes that you're seeing these days?
You know, the most common things we're seeing, you know, obviously some thefts, petty thefts, a lot of alcohol-related issues relative to behavior, disorderly conduct, open containers. We see a lot of that. A lot of those quality of life issues, noise complaints, disturbances, you know, those probably are what we see on a regular basis. You know, we obviously respond to a lot of motor vehicle accidents throughout the year as well. So we're really looking at a lot of different ways and how can we better police these things? Who can we bring to the table to help resolve a lot of them? A lot of these neighborhood groups that have cropped up have helped us immensely with the noise issues and the quality of life issues. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we're always looking for those collaborations and how we can better prepare ourselves to deal with a lot of these issues.
Now that the downtown, now that the cold weather is setting in, has downtown behavior
the focus that was on Central Square last year actually shifted down to Railroad Square this year. It seems mm-hmm. to move around somewhat. But when we look at what the behaviors are, what we see the majority of the time are people using those spaces as they were intended. There's always that small minority who cause disturbances, who maybe do something amiss or criminal. But for the most part, a lot of the calls we got down to that area this year, which have since quelled down, since calmed down and almost non-existent now because the cold weather has come, were for appearance-type issues, language, inappropriate language. And unfortunately, we don't police language at the police department.
Mm-hmm. Very busy.
But correct. So we do police those behaviors, and we do pay attention to those areas. And a lot of the officers developed relationships with the regulars who hung out there to help keep things in check. We always have this, you know, coming together of people. It's in places where it's designed for them to come together, yeah. and we try to monitor it as best we can and keep the behavior in check.
Yeah.
357-1290, good morning, you're on TalkBack.
Yes, I had a question for the police chief about the Bearcat that the city just received. I watched the video from Lenco, and everything in this video basically shows it's basically a SWAT vehicle, but the claim from Keene is that somehow this thing will help people if there's a flood.
Well, that's one. Yeah, that's one piece of it.
How a tank helps during a flood?
Okay, first of all, let's clear the misconception. It's not a tank. It's an armored truck. It has no weapon systems attached to it. It's not a track vehicle. It runs on a Ford F-550, frame and suspension. We do have a tactical team at the Keene Police Department. We've never hidden the fact that we would deploy our tactical team from it or use it in those situations that might dictate, but. It is a rescue vehicle. It's to rescue people out of situations they find themselves in, whether they're the bad guy or the hostage or the victim of some disaster.
Okay, so the attachment that goes on the front that allows you to fill a house with gas will somehow help people in a flood situation?
We don't have that attachment. We did not purchase any type of attachments, rams or otherwise, to the vehicle.
So there's no LRAD?
Are you talking about that newly designed...
The long-range acoustical device?
No, we don't.
That basically deafens people?
No, we don't have that.
Okay, so there's no attachments that turn this thing into a killing machine as it's advertised by Lenco?
I've never seen that video that people have spoken of by Lenco, so I can't really comment on it. I don't know how you define killing machine, but this is a truck with police officers driving it, doing their duty to... effectively
serve and protect
and service this community.
My understanding is there's some the vehicle has the ability to fjording, I guess is the right term, that it can actually drive effectively in about 3 to 4 feet of water.
I don't know the exact depth,
but it
is available for that. It is available to deploy a tactical team. Years ago, I think, people get their perception of police and tactical teams by what they watch on TV. That's not really true. I think if you look at how we deploy our teams and how we utilize them, all our tactics are now designed on securing a perimeter, hostage negotiation or critical intervention to try to get people out of situations as opposed to making them worse. Now, obviously, if we can deploy from a platform that protects the officers in order to do that, that's the best case scenario. Mm-hmm. So if we can keep the officers safe while we're keeping whoever else safe, that's a win-win situation.
357-1290, good morning, you're on TalkBack. Hello?
Yes, ma'am. I have a question for the chief, of course, about the Bearcat, concerning the nature of the grant that was given. Wasn't it given specifically for high terror threat areas?
It was actually given, and there is a terrorist aspect to it. But when we think about terrorists throughout the state of New Hampshire, we're obviously not thinking about what comes everyone's mind from overseas. But we're thinking about that homegrown terrorist and preparing ourselves for any issue that may present based upon what we have in our community. Now, if you look at the city of Keene as the hub of the county, and you look at the events we hold, and you look at something like the Pumpkin Fest that brings 80,000 people into one square mile, that's a potential terrorist target. And to be able to prepare ourselves and to have the tools available in case that thing should happen, I think we would be remiss not to plan for those things.
So you believe that Keene is a high terror threat area?
I believe we should be prepared and we need to game plan to protect this community for whatever we speculate might occur into the future. We would be remiss not to have those items to protect this community. It's like a fire truck. I don't know how many house fires we have here in a year, but we have it because it's a resource for when that event happens. We have the tools to deal with it.
And that's a good point about the fire truck. One caller pointed out that to paint it pink, which sounds a little outrageous, but would you consider fire truck red? I mean, it is an emergency vehicle, right?
I think at this point it's been painted. We chose a subtle color that we thought was appropriate for it. There's been such an outcry on it. I don't think we'd be spending tens of thousands to repaint this thing.
Well, that's a lot of money for just a paint job. I mean, but
well, I think
green.
when you see the vehicle, it's we're not pre-painting is not an option at this point. We chose a color.
I mean,
we felt
but olive green is the color of the military. It's not a military truck, right?
It's not a military truck. They do outfit them and build them for the military, but this is not militarized version.
And what about all the gun ports? How many of those are there on the truck?
I don't know. But we do have tactical team, and we do carry guns, and occasionally they do have to be used. We hope that doesn't ever occur, but we want to position ourselves to be prepared for when and if that happens.
Wow, that's, I guess, but you would, so you wouldn't consider, you know, welding over the ports, because, I mean...
No, we're not. We are not altering the configuration of this vehicle at all.
I mean, if they use their guns, I assume they want to use them, and they want them to be able. They wouldn't put corks in the fronts of them so they couldn't shoot them.
He's gone.
Oh, okay. 357-1290. Good morning. You're on TalkBack. Hello,
Cynthia. Cynthia.
Yeah. Hello.
Is this Cynthia?
Yeah, it is.
Hi. My name is Rick, and Chief, thanks for taking my call. I appreciate it.
You're welcome.
You know, sometimes I'm really astonished. As a former police officer, I'm absolutely astonished by some of the things that I hear from the Keene residents and the people in this area. I went to 13 funerals in a period of 4.5 years, and it really amazes me that people are so resistant for a piece of equipment that can be used to keep a police officer alive. And it just, it amazes me that the conspiracy theories that go on around here and the way that people react to this, it almost sounds like they want the police officers to put down their guns and not have anything to protect themselves with or anything to enforce the laws with. And I'm really astonished by what I hear. My personal feeling is anything that will keep a police officer alive, I think you ought to do. And I am very happy that we've got that. I hope you never need to use it. As a former SWAT team member, we used a similar armored vehicle that we got from the military. We used it very often, and it kept us from taking casualties at times. So I'm amazed by some of the responses I hear.
Yeah, well, thank you for the call. I really appreciate it. Obviously, you have a perspective of what we do and how we need to do it. You know, I would rather be criticized and take the flak for accepting the vehicle as we have been, and we're prepared to deal with any situations that may arise in the future, as opposed to ignoring being able to get a piece of equipment like this. And when that event does happen, being criticized about why didn't you get this? It was free. You could have had this. You could have saved lives. So I'm well prepared to take the criticism. It's a logical acquisition for me and for our department to save lives and protect people.
Well, I absolutely agree. And if I was a city councilor, I would have voted for that without a doubt. I think that as a police officer, you need to be protected. And if people are concerned about it being used against them, then quite frankly, don't do stupid things. If you're going to rob a bank, expect it to be used against you. If you're going to commit a crime, expect the police to have a gun. I'm really shocked at some of the things that I hear.
Well, we all are, I guess. Thank you very much for calling. Bye-bye. 357-1290, good morning, you're on TalkBack.
Hello.
Hello.
I have a comment about the tank.
Yes, it's a truck, but that's okay.
You know, I think our founders of this country warned us about a standing army, and now these guys have brought a tank into our community, and they're acting like terrorists are going to attack a pumpkin festival. This is delusional. This is crazy. This tank is hundreds of thousands of dollars, so they can have their little toy and act like they're tough. I think it's an embarrassment to the community, and I think that all these city council people that supported it need to be removed from office immediately.
I'm gone already.
And that's all I'm going to say.
I'm gone already, so you can't remove me. And anyway, let's talk about, is there another call? 357-1290, good morning, you're on TalkBack.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. My name's Pete Ayer, and I had a quick question for Ken. Appreciate you making the opportunity for this, but My question quickly was, the mission of police department of Keene, it says, is to protect life and property and to maintain order within the city. And so my question for you, Ken, is if you and your colleagues' mission is to protect property, how then is that accomplished if you first steal from people in Keene to pay for your salaries and to pay for your facility and to buy your weapons and things like that? Thanks.
Okay, thanks for calling. One of the questions I had, Ken, is about personnel, because I know you're down a little. And
yeah, we currently are down three positions in the police department. We're currently down five. We're actually authorized to have 46 sworn officers.
And that includes the chief.
Yeah, that includes the chief. Yep. That all the sworn police officers from the chief,
sometimes
command
sworn
staff
at.
And down. Right now, we have two positions frozen within the police department. They've been frozen for a number of years within our budget. So realistically, we're looking at, I think right now, three positions that we need to fill. We have a pending retirement towards the end of the year, so that will create another opening. So we're always recruiting. We're always looking for running hiring processes to try to identify those people for when these openings do come about, to try to immediately fill positions. It's very difficult, and we experience those difficulties as well, but we're constantly working towards trying to get people hired and trained and on the road to perform their duties. The problem with that is it takes about 6 to 9 months to train an officer to get him on the road on his own. So we invest a lot of time and energy up front to get them trained to go out and do the job before we even start to see the benefits of that.
How many women do you have in the department right now?
Four female officers right now.
Oh, really?
Now.
Okay. Yes. All right. And you're also working toward accreditation.
We are. That was a project began by Chief Walker and prior mm-hmm. to my taking over. That was many years prior. He was working on that. In 2009, we achieved what was called recognition phase of the accreditation process. And that was 112 policies and standards that meet best practices and that we could demonstrate we were actually doing on a regular basis. And then from that period of time, we had 18 months to actually achieve the accreditation standard, which we went through in October. And that's for 177 standards to demonstrate we are actually doing those things. And that's through the Commission for Accreditation for Law Enforcement Agencies. It's an internationally known organization for accrediting police agencies. So we're very proud of that accomplishment. The staff worked extremely hard. We still haven't gotten the final report from our assessment that took place in October, but we expect that to come through hopefully by the end of the year and to achieve the actual accreditation sometime in the spring.
So what else can you tell us that we've got probably a minute left? So what's happening that we haven't asked about?
I don't really have any other things to talk about. I would just kind of urge everyone now with the snow falling and the holiday season and the increased traffic to please pay better attention as they're driving to you plan a little extra time to stop at intersections, pay attention to the crosswalks. We know the downtown will be extremely busy. Get your head on a swivel looking for those people that are out enjoying the season and drive safe.
Chief.
Cat is a tank. We don't want it. I don't feel safer with the tank, and I think it was a poor decision to purchase the tank. I think that the Bearcat tank makes us less safe, and I'm afraid the police are becoming like the military. I think they're supposed to serve the public, and they didn't listen to anything that happened in the city council. The public came out and filled the room. When else has that ever happened? And they were all speaking out against it. The only people to speak in favor were the police and retired police. Mm-hmm. And I think it's part of a bigger movement to militarize local police everywhere.
But don't you think that police and retired police know more about protecting the community than people with signs that say tanks but no tanks when it's really a truck?
Don't you think that the community knows how it wants to be protected, and when it comes out to speak to say how it would like to be protected, that it ought to be listened to? Don't you feel that way, Cynthia?
They ought to be listened to. I agree with you on that. But I think ultimately the decisions have to be up to the professionals who are going to use the equipment.
Well, I don't agree because they aren't the ones paying for it, really. I mean, aren't the people the ones paying for it? We all know it came from a grant from the Department of Homeland Security. Not that that should frighten anyone that it came from this department, but it came at a cost of, what, over $200,000 to the American taxpayers? Well, I don't think it's right that people in Kansas ought to be subsidizing the type of defense that the police in Keene are using. That doesn't seem right at all. If the Keene police want a big tank for themselves, they can go buy one for themselves and leave the rest of the taxpayers out of it who don't want this tank in their neighborhood.
Well, people in Keene are subsidizing a war in Afghanistan, so what's the difference between that or people in Kansas subsidizing something we have in Keene?
I don't think that the people in Keene want the Bearcat. I think it's clear from the videos on thanksbutnotanks.com that they didn't want it, and that it was all crosses of cross-sections of the community, that it was students going to Keene State College all the way up to the old folks who have been living in Keene for decades. They all spoke out saying that they didn't want it. Keene is a peaceful town, and I think that people want to keep it that way, and we want to maintain a peaceful image for our community, and that having a black militarized tank vehicle...
It's not black, it's green.
...feel safer. Excuse me?
It's not black, it's green.
Oh, okay. Well, I guess then everything's fine. Disregard all my concerns for this. Now that it's green, I suppose it's a lot safer for the community.
I think it probably will blend right in with the trees. Anyway, thank you for calling.
Thank you.
357-1290. Good morning. You're on TalkBack.
Hey, good morning, Cynthia. Hi. Hey, I'm one of those people, I guess, that's outside the considerations of the last gentleman. I live in Keene. I pay taxes in Keene. I've lived in many places all over the country, in the world, and this mentality, this small, narrow mentality of folks like the last caller and many before him, that all of a sudden, you know, Central Square is going to turn into Tiananmen Square. That all of a sudden, the dynamics are in place for the Keene Police Department to all of a sudden declare martial law and ride this. Basically, it's a glorified pickup truck is really what it is.
Exactly.
It's not a tank. If these people went they twist the technical definitions to fit their argument, it's not a tank. There are no weapon systems on this. If anyone had ever seen a tank, frankly, or had ever been escorted into combat with a tank, they would certainly know the difference.
Right.
That's for sure. So there's this distortion of the facts, which, you know, is made to fit this, you know, sort of oversimplified and highly idealized view that all of a sudden, you know, a scary truck equals the takeover and loss of liberty. I wish these people would consider, in greater part, the loss of liberty by having some of the decisions they make politically are much more the reason for living liberty, but not a piece of hardware. In the real world, there are bad guys. And in the real world, there are wonderful, nice people. Many of them live in Keene. And you know what? As one of the nice people, I want the police, number one, to be able to protect themselves so they can protect me. And when I have had, and I've had interactions with the Keene Police Department, they're a fine group. I've had medical emergencies and other areas where I really needed those people to do their job. And they did it professionally and with full sensitivity to any concerns I had. They're a great group. I want those folks protected. I want them to have what they need, the tools they need to do their job. And this nonsense and this over-emotionalized distortion that these people bring up is just ridiculous. You know, we live in Keene, not in not in communist China. Okay, get real. So that's all I have to say.
All right.
Thanks.
Well, thank you so much for calling. Bye bye now. 357-1290. Good morning. You're on TalkBack.
Good morning. I think this is me. I'll start by saying ditto to the last caller, which basically was what I wanted to say. And we do know that the free keeners are the ones who are monopolizing your show this morning, which is a typical example of how they abuse Keene and abuse what is free so they can take advantage of it. If I were using their vocabulary, I would say that they are the terrorists taking over our town by harassing little old ladies in crossing walks. But I would
little
like
old
to say,
ladies behind microphones.
Little old ladies behind microphones, ones on crossing guards. They disrupt security at the courthouse. They disrupt children's security as they're coming and going. Ian mentioned how the people and all the people, well, this household was for the Bearcat, particularly at the time when there were guns going off in schools, there were hostage situations. We never know what is going to happen in Keene or the surrounding town. I'd also like to say that, Chief Miola, that I have seen nothing but wonderful restraint when dealing with people like the Free Staters, who I have personally witnessed being the most horrifically rude public jerks I've ever seen anywhere. And Ian loves to talk. Actually, I have to say thank you for saying also that you, if you have nothing good to say, that you wouldn't talk to him, because you can't talk to him. He only has his side of the story for anyone who has ever talked to him. Repeatedly saying it's a tank is another example. My sister-in-law just bought a Ford F-350 to pull a trailer. It's not a tank. I'm sure no one will be calling her that she's driving a tank. So that was just what I wanted to add. And, gee, I wonder if the advertisers for your show would like it if this conversation stopped and we moved on to something more productive.
There you go. All right, thank you.
If I could just add one more thing.
Okay.
People talk about the finances here. And when we look at where this came from, and not just where the money came from, but look at how many people were involved in making this vehicle. My son works for a ball bearing company. He's right out of college, and he got a job. He's working for a ball bearing company. Those go into things like trucks and tanks and turrets and aircrafts and other vehicles. In Keene, New Hampshire, we make ball bearings. In Peterborough, we make ball bearings. This money provided salaries for people across the country. The Lenco company is in Massachusetts. I think this is a symbol of what we can do with America. It's also a symbol that the Free Staters don't run Keene. Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you for calling. Bye-bye now. 357-1290. Good morning. You're on TalkBack.
Good morning, guys.
Morning.
The roundabout in town, it does get a little hectic at times. There's no doubt about that.
The Central Square Rotary?
Yeah.
I have to, but full disclosure, I haven't seen an accident there in years. It's just when you see all these close calls. Yeah. So, yeah.
Yeah, no, I mean, yeah. If there's no accidents, I mean, you know, it just is a little crazy. But if there's no accidents, then I think it's probably fine. But, you know, the police chief is no longer on?
He's no longer on.
Okay. I just I wanted to call in because you guys were talking about the Bearcat, and I was really shocked that the police chief claimed that he had not seen the video about the Bearcat. And you know, it seems to me like if you're going to be bringing in this military attack vehicle to your police department, that you would at least look and see what the vehicle was about, look at the website.
I don't think he looked at it because it's not a military attack vehicle. It's a police protection vehicle.
I saw the video on Lenco, and it's marketed, the Bearcat is marketed as a military attack vehicle, so it's disingenuous for anybody to claim that this vehicle is a rescue vehicle. Mm-hmm. I mean, they show it with the gun ports and these military guys in it. That's what the vehicle is marketed as from the company that makes it. So it just seems disingenuous to claim otherwise, that it's not a military attack vehicle.
Well, it's probably like trucks. I mean, you know, you have trucks that are pickups, and you have trucks that are dump trucks, and you have trucks that are big haul trucks. They make different kinds of trucks, and they probably make different kinds of Bearcats.
I saw the video, and I would not disagree. It was promoting a SWAT team going in and showing what it's weaponry. But that the marketing is, there's a difference between how something is marketing and how it's actually used. And I think that you know, that's a point of distinction. There are, I've read of bearcats in places out in Minnesota, in the Midwest, Wisconsin, where they attach snowplows to them. They find all sorts of ways to use them.
If you want to attach a snowplow to something, there's trucks made to plow snow mm-hmm. that are going to be a lot cheaper to maintain than, you know, in a vehicle like that that's so heavy, you know, for it's got.
Well, the
armor,
point was there's
so,
many uses that are non-military or, you know,
right,
as an attack vehicle is. But you know, again, it's that is, I think it's pretty clear it is something that can be used if needed in tactical situations where, and the Keene Police Department does have a SWAT team
that doesn't come out all the time.
But
yeah. It's unfortunate because Keene is a beautiful and safe town. I love it. And we all have the ability to create the world we want to live in. And I love the beauty of Keene and its simplicity and, you know, the people and just the area. And, you know, I wouldn't, if it was up to me, I wouldn't bring in military vehicles for the police department because I don't want to create a military presence in the town of Keene. It doesn't need it, you know.
Go ahead.
We don't need to militarize further the police department, and it's just really unfortunate. You know, the marketing was effective because, you know, there was a video that showed one of the town councilors or what have you that, you know, was like, oh, we're getting a tank, you know, or whatever. He said something to that effect. He was excited to get the tank. I'm not going to call it a tank. It's a military attack vehicle. But the marketing obviously got to some of the people who got to make the decisions who clearly were not in line with the public. You know, the public didn't want this. And the problem is that the incentives are upside down for people in for the government. You know,
but
the
this
people
whole conversation is moot because it's here. So
well,
we can argue forever that we
moot.
Shouldn't have it, wouldn't have it, didn't have it, but we've got
it's not,
it. So
it's not moot. The conversation is not moot because the fact remains that, you know, the taxpayers are on the hook to pay for the maintenance of this vehicle, and every dollar that goes into maintaining that is dollars that couldn't otherwise be spent in the community for positive things. And what I mean by that is, you know, let's lower the tax burden on people and let's, you know, stop militarizing the police department.
Well, I think if you want to keep the maintenance down, if everybody behaves themselves, we won't have to use it. And then we won't have that much maintenance on it. Okay? 357-1290, good morning, you're on TalkBack.
Hi, I was just thinking about that bearcat. It may not save my life directly, but, you know, it might save the life of a policeman, and that policeman might save my life later.
That's true.
I think it's pretty important.
Yeah.
I want to keep them protected because they protect me.
Well, thank you. That's very
thank
nice.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Well, it's a bearcat day, I guess.
357-1290. Good morning. You're on TalkBack.
Hello, this is Garrett from Keene. And I just wanted to say, it's a little saddened that people are beating a dead horse to death with this rotary discussion about how confusing it is.
Okay.
Okay.
All righty. Well, thank you very much.
In another sense, about the bearcat, I predict that the thing won't get any use out of it at all one way or another. The police will probably drive it around a few times and show it off at a parade. But Manchester's had this thing for a while, and the only time they used it was when there was this guy holed up in his house. They just drove it around his block, and it didn't do anything.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
right now, we've got snow falling down outside, and we really need snow plows. So the Bearcat theme, somebody referenced Ford F-150s. Maybe it would have been cheaper just to get an F-150 with a snow plow, because you can use that.
Well, it's too late now, but that's a good idea. We'll remember that next time.
If there's grants for snowplows, I'm sure the Public Works Department would be right on that.
Thank you. 357-1290. Good morning. You're on TalkBack.
Good morning. Well, you know, calling Bearcat, yeah, it's not a pickup. It's an armored personnel carrier. And I'm glad the one earlier caller pointed out that, no, we're not Communist China. We are not North Korea. Because you used to be able to tell that because of the complete absence of military vehicles roaming the streets. You know, I'd like to keep it that way. But, you know, in all honesty, it's pretty much a useless vehicle. There is nothing that vehicle can do that we don't have the capability of doing. We have little four-wheel gators that can go search for people, get to places that vehicle will never get to. We could have more of them, so the more people you have searching, the better it is, rather than have, like, four people in an armored personnel carrier trying to look for it. You know, yeah, you could attach a little infrared thing to it, but you could put one on a helicopter, and you can search 10 times as much space more effectively if you really want to find somebody with that method. Really, the only thing it's good for is if you want to cram a gas tube into a crack house and drive them all out.
And they don't have
honestly,
that.
I can't think of anything else it's good for, unless you want to break up a big riot.
And they don't have that attachment to gas, put gas into people's homes. So,
what exactly are we going to use that for that we don't have already? I can't think of a single thing.
Well, I guess we'll find out when we use it. Okay. And we have to break for some messages. You're listening to Talk Back on the News Station, WKBK 1290 AM and FM 104.1. Jim Duffy and I will be back. And we are back on Talk Back. I'm Cynthia Georgina.
And I'm Jim Duffy.
And our phone number is 357-1290. Good morning. You're on Talk Back.
Good morning.
Good morning.
First time caller. I listen Saturday mornings on my way into work.
Oh, thank you.
And this morning I heard a tough subject for me, the rotaries. I drive professionally and have to deal with them every day. I don't think the problem is the rotaries. I think the problem is there's no courtesy anymore.
I think you're right.
Mm.
I think you can put all the dotted lines you want on the road and all the signage. People do what they want to do.
Mm-hmm.
It's a sad situation, but...
And they're only half paying attention.
I've had the only accidents on my record have been in rotaries cars from people trying to get around me. Why they want to race a tractor trailer hauling gasoline around a rotary, I don't understand, but it happens.
Mm-hmm.
I bet you could tell some great stories.
Oh, I invite anybody that dares to ride with me, and it wouldn't take them long to realize what I'm seeing.
My dad drove a tanker for Cheshire Oil for 30-something years, and he had many, many stories to tell. So,
well, I drive for a competitor, and we've all seen the same thing.
Right.
I've been caught up into some tough situations, but I think the King Rotary downtown I don't deal with, but the one at Winchester Street is a lot better than the one in Brattleboro. The one in Brattleboro is just too dang narrow.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
But I was kind of hoping before they put that in, it was going to be treated like the bypass with a bridge over the intersections. But I understand cost effective, but it should have would have made life easier for me.
Right. Well, anyway, keep up the good work.
All right. Well, thank you for taking my call.
Thank you. Bye-bye now. 357-1290. Good morning. You're on TalkBack.
Hello?
Hello.
Hi. I'm calling to say you guys both voted for the Bearcat, right? I know you're not doing re-election, Cynthia, but you all both voted for it, right?
I did in the beginning, yes.
Yeah, I actually voted twice in December of 2011 and in February, March of, I forget the month, I did vote in favor of it again.
I voted once.
Yeah. Well, I'm against it, and I hope they don't. I know it's obviously military vehicle. It's called all military specs on the thing, and it's got the military green. So I don't know. I'm against it. I know everybody's pretty much said everything about it this morning. So I don't know. Does anybody know? Is there an online or some criterion where they decide to use it? You know what I mean? Like, that can be online. This situation, we use it. This situation, we do, type of thing.
Not that I'm aware of. We could
I think
find
it would probably
out.
Be up
I know.
To the police chief or whoever is in charge of the incident.
I mean, to... again, I think Chief Miola mentioned that its use would... you know, for rescue, situations
emerge. What's happening?
Yeah, now a hostage situation where the protection of potential hostages and police officers is important. So it would to chase down people who are speeding, I don't think you'll see it doing things like that or, you know.
Well, that's obvious.
Yeah. Or making routine, you know, it's not here to replace or supplement what the police department uses predominantly, which are police cruisers.
Yeah, well. One thing, it's absolutely an aggressive, the sold as an aggressive vehicle. It's got a military styling that is aggressive. But
those are all legitimate concerns, by the way. I mean, I don't want to interrupt you and stop you from talking, but I've wanted to say this through all the calls, is that it's clear to me as a city councilor, not the first vote, but certainly the second vote, that the community was clearly divided on this issue, and every concern I heard was legitimate. Now, how those concerns were presented, and I'm not narrowing because people who are in favor of it, I've heard things that were rather, I felt personally, negative opinions towards people who didn't agree with them. It's obvious to me this is a big change for our community. I'm very confident because of the type of community we have, we're going to be able to learn to live with it, and that it's not going to be used in ways that we have fears about. But there are all sorts of layers of issues around this. I understand that. But what settled my vote in the end is that, and I mentioned it at the council meeting, I don't know what it's like to be a police officer. I don't have to wear a bulletproof vest when I go to work every day. I don't. I don't have to walk into situation, and that doesn't mean that, you know, a Bearcat is going to change that, but if it can help save the lives of people I see in the grocery store, walking on trails in the city when they're off duty, going to dinner, and, you know, seeing people who are our police office, our men and women, and their concerns are just as legitimate. So I think there are a lot of things that went into this decision.
Wasn't that the people that were at the meeting? We were the ones in the supermarket and stuff. We spoke at the council meeting.
Yeah,
we're always told to use our voice and speak, and then the counselors complain that people don't show up at the meetings, and then when they do show up, they get totally disregarded.
Well, for the record, sir, I've never been a counselor who's complained about that, and I, to be honest, I don't hear that a lot. What happened, and it obviously was necessary. There was so much concern and confusion and anger, fear, and support, and legitimate reasons for the Bearcat that, of course, it happened this way, but it's done.
That's
and
true.
And I'm very confident we're going to live with it in a very appropriate way, and the debates that surround it, I think, are legitimate as well, but accepting it, I mean, you know, if I lived in a different community, I would have more doubts about it. But I know where I live. I know who our police officers are. I know most of our citizens, our fire department, city staff. I know what Keene is like. I've been here 18 years, and we're not going to be knocking down houses with it or trampling people with it. And it does have a use.
Well, the people that spoke out are also members of the community, and
yes,
they did speak out,
yes,
and they've had perhaps many of them, and expressed at the council meetings have had different experiences have seen it differently.
I understand, and I accept your opinion, your assessment. I respectfully disagree with some of it, but I'm grateful that the community survived this, and we obviously did. And I'm grateful that you can call in and express your opinion. We live in a country we're able to do that, and I feel very fortunate about that.
Okay, thank you very much for calling. 357-1290. Good morning, you're on TalkBack.
Hello, is it me?
It is you.
Okay. I about the Bearcat, I think all it is it's like the $1,200 toilet seat and the $1,400 hammer. It was just a part of somebody's stimulus package, and that's why the country is in the problem, is having the problems that it's having. Sometimes we buy things without a true need. I look around my house. The average person probably doesn't do it as often as the country does. And that's what all I get to say. I think you're right. Saves the life of a policeman, it's a fantastic thing. I think there was a lot of bull thrown out there, you know, that it's a regional thing. So that would have to be a hostage situation that went on for weeks, because I don't think the chief has somebody sitting in the Bearcat with it idling, ready to drive it to Guilford, Vermont when needed.
Right.
And that's all I got to say. I just think we were sold a crock, you know, a pig in a poke, however you want to say it. All it was some congressman was paying back some debt that he owed somebody that that supported him in an election.
It's sad to think that, isn't it? But
And I think that's the truth, though.
Okay.
And you, Cynthia, saying we'll have to see is kind of like Nancy Pelosi saying we'll have to see what's in the medical thing once we pass it.
Once we pass it, we'll
know,
read it, right?
I mean, you laugh, but you sounded almost like her, so.
I'm sorry, I don't want to sound like Nancy Pelosi.
Well, be careful. Okay?
Your points are very valid, caller. I agree with you, and it's an overall issue.
357-1290, good morning, you're on TalkBack.
Hi, Cynthia, how are you?
I'm fine, thanks, how are you?
Great. And I guess I got to wager in my opinion on this Bearcat. I'm not a resident of Keene. I was for over 40 years, but I got out of the area because I didn't like the politics. But, you know, this whole thing has really, really kind of turned out to be almost laughable because, you know, I can remember a time when, you know, it was plenty safe to be able to walk downtown Keene and do a lot of different things and you know, have a lot of enjoyment and stuff like that. And now it's like everything is all tightened right up and you know, the police are, you know, coming in and you know, and then the Free Shaders are coming back. It's like a ping pong match, you know. And it seems to me that this is, I mean, isn't it really more trouble than what it's worth having this thing?
Well, apparently the police don't think so. And they're the ones that matter because it's their Bearcat. So
right.
that's all I can say. I mean, I don't know. It doesn't matter.
I mean, I'm not on anybody's side here. I don't want to give that impression or anything. I've been listening to you for a long time, and I agree with a lot of things you say, Cynthia. But, I mean, it's just, I mean, this is just, it's an army, you know, a personal carrier is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
That can do certain different things if they have the, you know, weapons
right attachments
to do it with and stuff like that. But I'm wondering what's next. You know, I've seen what this truck can do, and I'm just wondering what's going to be next. It's going to be kind of funny to see. Oh. You have a good day, Cynthia.
Okay, thank you.